Thank you so much, April. Thank you for that reading. And again, my name is Pat, and I am a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to do a commentary on that reading. Let me start with the verse at the top, 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16. It says, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy, because I am holy.'" That is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. And the first thing I had underlined in that verse was, prepare your minds for actions. For action, one of the things that my food plan talks about, the people who taught me taught me about my food, and it was actually a secular group, and I'm very grateful for what they taught me about my food. They have this saying that I notice on the loop. They have an email loop too, and they say pray, plan, prepare, and protect. Or sometimes they just say plan, prepare, protect, and sometimes they say pray, plan, prepare, and protect. But all of those P's are very, very helpful to me in my physical abstinence, you know, that it's important for me to plan, it's important for me to prepare my food, and also to protect, meaning protect my abstinence, that there will be times when it will be threatened. People will be threatened by what I do with the food, especially if I go out somewhere. And people don't quite understand why I don't always want to eat the way that they're eating. So I know that the physical part of my abstinence requires a fair amount of work. But also, I'm learning that my spiritual life in Jesus Christ always, too, requires that I prepare. And this verse says, prepare your minds for action. And so it's preparing my mind. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And so if I take care of making my mind conform to that which the Lord is, his truth, his goodness, then other things will fall into place for me. And that is how I get in the best position to act in the right way. Even, you know, learning how to be abstinent requires a fair amount of me changing my thinking, you know, changing it to the way it should be. In the Bible, in another place, I know in Romans 12:2, it says, "Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And that mind renewal is so important in terms of holiness and in terms of living my life set apart for God. I have to do a fair amount of preparing because I have an adversary, I have an enemy. In the 12-step rooms, they used to call it the disease, you know, and I had to watch out for the disease. But what I have learned in my Christian life is that that disease has a name, and his name is Satan, okay? And that, and I have to watch out for him. He has a whole barrage of minions, demons that are out to really try to get me off track. And so the best thing that I can do is to prepare my mind with the things that the Lord has given to me in his word and to put that in my mind. It says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. And then it says, be self-controlled. And self-control can be taught. I like it in Titus. It's Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, where Paul is given instruction, and he says, likewise, he says, teach the older women to be reverent in the way that they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. And then he says, then they can train the younger women to be self-controlled and pure, to be, you know, workers at home, to be kind and to be subject to their husbands. But he points out that they can train the younger women to be self-controlled. And in the same way that I can learn to be self-controlled. And that's why I'm very grateful for the lessons that I learned in my physical abstinence. I learned, one of the first things that I learned was that even though my stomach can be crying out and it's hungry, because that's what it used to do at the beginning, the truth is that as I look back, I was not hungry. It was just that I was so used to running to the food at any emotional turning point, you know, that it felt like hunger. In fact, my head would say that I was hungry, but I wasn't hungry. You know, I was anxious. And so I learned how to control that because I was taught in my physical abstinence, you know, to not eat no matter what. They used to say that don't eat no matter what, don't eat no matter what. And so I had to kind of put a little stopgap in that, where I used to have a knee-jerk reaction that when I felt bad to go running to the food, I learned how to, you know, put something in between that. So I learned self-control in the food, but I can also learn self-control in my thinking. You know, that when a horrible thought comes into my mind, and horrible thoughts will come into my mind until the day that I die, okay? Because I still have that self in me, that self-will, that flesh is still present. The neat thing is that it's no longer in control, you know, that the Lord is in control. I belong to Him. But that flesh can still want to pretend that it's in control, and it can shout out some kind of all kinds of craziness, you know, all kinds of thoughts in my mind. And when that thought comes into my mind, I have a choice of what I'm going to do with it. Am I going to sit and turn it over and look at it and think about it and consider it and, you know, coddle it and do all those things? And believe me, if I do those things, it's just a matter of time before I act on that thought. But if I am really aiming for holiness, when something comes in that is counter to what the Lord teaches me in His Word, then it is my responsibility to throw that out, to throw that thought out. Paul says in another part in Corinthians 10, he says, you know, he takes captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And so I have learned to take captive those thoughts that are wrong, not to even sit there and waste time going, oh, I can't believe I thought that. Oh, please, you know. Yes, you know, those types of thoughts can continue to come into my mind, but the power to throw them out is at my disposal, and I pray to continue to throw out those crazy things that could get me moving in the wrong direction. It says, be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. I am so grateful for my salvation. So very, very grateful for my salvation. That Jesus loved me so much that He became my lamb, my sacrificial lamb, as the Bible says. This is not the Bible, actually, it doesn't say that. It's what I heard in a Christian song, which reflects what the Bible says. It says, my shepherd became a lamb. And that is the thing that I am grateful, because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, in Hebrews, there is no forgiveness. And so Jesus had to shed His blood in order for me to be forgiven of my sin. And so I put my hope fully on His grace. I have a deposit of the Holy Spirit in my heart now, because the Holy Spirit now indwells me, but I will not know fully the power of what has been given to me until Jesus comes back. And he is coming back. He's very clear. He said that even before he left. He was instructing his disciples, a lot of his teaching about the, you know, until he comes back. It was in John 14, you know, and he, you know, he speaks about that. He says, you know, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there, he said, to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back to take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. And so he's going to come back. And so I put my hope fully on him, which means that I have to guard my heart against things that would take me away from putting my hope fully on him. I like in Proverbs 4:23, it reminds me, above all things, it says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And that verse also reminds me of the eternal perspective. You know, it's so easy, as they say, to major on the minors. Everything here in life is temporary. And so when things get so important, like I've shared recently, and what I learned very much in my abstinence, at the beginning of my abstinence, it says, you know, if it's so important that I have to eat about it, then it's too important. You know, and so I'm also learning, you know, that if it's so important that I would have to eat about it, then I'm forgetting about the power of God. I have a powerful God, please. You know, I have a powerful God. And so he certainly can take care of any anxiety that I have, but it's my choice. I have to give it to him. That verse goes on to say, it says, set your heart fully on the grace to be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. And then it says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. And again, that verse, that part of the verse reminds me again that, you know, evil desires are going to come, but I don't have to conform to those evil desires. I need to obey what the Lord tells me in his word. He really tells me, even in his word, to hide his word in my heart so that I do not sin against him. And so that is also one of my aims, to really continue to hide his word in my heart so that when the temptation comes, I will have the strength that comes from the power of the word of God. And it is my responsibility, again, not to just say his word, but to live his word. And so I pray for that willingness each and every day to not merely stockpile revelations, but to live it and to live it out. And I'm grateful, very, very grateful for that. Moving down to the very end of that verse, it says, but as he who calls you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. That definition given at the beginning of the reading in holiness, it says to be holy is to be set apart for the glory of God. It means it's that whole idea of, I know when I was growing up, my parents had two sets of dishes. They had the dishes that we would use every day as a family. But then they would have these other dishes that they would had set apart for when they had special guests, you know. They would take these out, and this is when, you know, this is how I knew even a lot of times that we were going to have something special happen, because they had set apart these dishes for that occasion. And it's the same sort of thing. My life has been set apart. It's been different. The Bible says that, you know, I am not my own. I was bought at a price. And it says, therefore, glorify, you know, the Lord with your body and with your spirit, which is God. That's it. I can't remember exactly what it is. All of a sudden, it just went away from me, and I don't want to tell you the wrong place to look, but later on, if I think, I'll bring that to mind, where that came from. But actually, it comes to my mind now. It comes from 1 Corinthians 6. And so I just have to keep that in mind, that that is, you know, what he calls me to do. He calls me to be set apart, to be holy in all that I do. And I am grateful that he doesn't just call me to do it, he equips me to do it. What he has done is that he has placed his spirit in me, and that spirit is power. It says that in Zechariah, I know in Zechariah 4:6, you know, it says, not by might and not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And so the Spirit of God has been placed in me to be that powerhouse to do what needs to be done so that I can glorify God in all that I do. Psalm 119 is a beautiful psalm. I think one of the 90 days that we've done before, a few weeks ago, maybe it was even last week, we talked about that psalm. We took a verse from that psalm. But Psalm 119 is really nice, a nice, nice psalm, and much teaching in that psalm. But in this particular passage, 9 through 16, it speaks, again, about things that we can look at to reflect upon how we're doing. Again, because it's not just taking or giving lip service to this life, but to actually live it out. And that first bullet is, you know, how have I lived out the word? I have to live it out. The second bullet says, show me if and how I have strayed. I sometimes am courageous. I'm courageous enough to say to the Lord, convict me, Lord, convict me. And boy, I'm telling you that He'll answer that prayer all the time, because he doesn't want me to live in sin, you know, unconfessed sin. He wants me to see it and to be able to confess it. And so there's sometimes, you know, that I'm in conflict with people. Usually the people in my household, that's the hardest people to live with sometimes. And I have this little conflict going on, and all I can see is they're wrong in the situation. But I have been taught in my recovery that I need to sweep off my own side of the street, and there's always some rubbish that I can, you know, sweep off on my side. And so sometimes I don't even see it, so I have to say, Lord, you show me where my part in something wrong. And he does, he really does. That third bullet talks about Bible memory, and I remember at one of the Bible studies that we have on the phone long time ago, it was probably the Phone Bridge Bible study, I'm almost certain it was, and I asked people to pray for me to do Bible memory, because I had no faith in my ability to memorize scripture. I knew that it was so hard for me to remember. Please, I'm at the age now that I walk into a room sometimes, I can't even remember why I was walking in that room. And I have to, what I've done is that I just say to the Lord, okay, you help me, Lord. You help me to remember, or help me not to worry about it. I know that you'll show me in time what it is that I need to do. But the thing about Bible memory, though, is that the Lord really can show his power with Bible memory. And I really challenge you. First, get someone to pray for you, and that you learn how to memorize Bible, and you also will be faithful in doing that. And the Bible memory just helped me so much in my strength to be able to, you know, stand up against the evil one. And I can see how Jesus did that. You know, Jesus did that in the garden. I mean, not in the garden. He did that when he was in the desert with the being tempted those 40 days. And he spoke back to Satan with scripture. And so the word of God truly is powerful and effective. And but I'm going to stop there. I'm going to see if our shepherd, April, would like to share now, or whether she would like to share near the end of the meeting. But April?